May 6, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 34.
Not pitching.
Hey everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here in Nowhere in Mulberry, the pop culture district of Mulberry. To my left, I have the pop culture zealot, PCZ Steven, which throws me off. Now I want to say PCZ Steven, I don't want to say pop culture zealot Steven. But it's Steven. How's it going, Steven?
It's going great.
Here on my left, also in the nether regions. No, wait, that didn't come out right. And the
it depends on whose nether region.
On the information superhighway is Mulberry Bill.
Hello.
Mulberry historian Bill and his Fortress of Solitude, if you will.
That's more true than you know.
Now, this week there is no Vanessa because she has a family thing going on with her daughter. Her daughter's a gymnast. And there's Mayfest here in town, and she's performing. I'll be seeing tomorrow. I'll be going to see that. She does it 2 days in a row. Today, interfered with the show. I figured either don't do the show or go see her perform once. So I'll go tomorrow. So no Vanessa this week. Who's going to do the news? I'm thinking you, Bill, right?
Sure, I can do the news.
It's all right. Now, okay, guys. It's been kind of a rough week for Nowhere in Mulberry because we've been having host problems. Now, if you're listening to the show now, hopefully it's on our host site or it's on our substitute host using GCast at gcast.com, GarageBand, basically. Basically, we're now a rock group, right?
Yes.
And you'll be able to get the show on our feed. You know, that's one thing that's cool about using FeedBurner. No one has to change anything. They just get the show through our different hosts and they don't even have to.
They don't even know.
Yeah, if they're subscribed, they're going to get it. So that's cool. But apparently our host, SwitchPod, has had some problems, had some major hard drive problems.
That they weren't expecting.
Yeah, it's like, the one thing that really sucked, the reason I was kind of upset is because we released two shows this week. Released episode 33, and we released the Sopranos Special Edition, which I was really excited to get out there because some of our listeners were waiting for that. And then all of a sudden I uploaded it, the host crashed, and then nobody could get it, so it was really, oh man, I won't get into that, but I hope SwitchPod gets straightened out, and who knows, maybe start looking for a new host, we'll see what happens. I'm going to judge it by days. I was trying to ride it out, like, maybe it'll be back up today, maybe it'll be back up the next day, but I kept getting so many emails from listeners who really, they're like, hey, I haven't heard episode 33, you know, some people were like, hey, where's that Sopranos? It says file not available. It was freaking me out. And I was like, I got to do something right now. So I will make sure you get this episode because you won't be listening to this unless you've been able to download it.
You won't be listening to this unless you're listening to this.
It's a conundrum, I think is what it's called. Is that what it is, Steven?
It's not a conundrum.
But Steven?
It's not a conundrum?
That's not a conundrum.
I think it is. It's an enigma.
That's
a conundrum.
An enigma.
It's a conundrum wrapped in an enigma is what it is, damn it.
Wrapped in a cannoli.
Wrapped in a cannoli. Now, guys,
cannoli.
We got another voicemail here from the mystery caller. You guys want to check that out? Apparently, this guy likes our show enough to call every week. Let's see what he's got to say.
Hello, Mulberry crew. I'm outside of my dingy little cubicle in the wide open spaces right now, so my voice sounds different. I didn't want to call back because I was afraid I'd start sounding like that guy that wants to fit Vanessa for a Firefly suit, and that's kind of a little too weird for me. But
little Eugene dig there.
Because, the last two episodes were outstanding.
Hey,
I really enjoyed the Soprano sit down. Personally, I think seeing Gay Vito in that leather.
Hey, Bill, he got to hear the Sopranos episode. That's good.
In the 80s, was probably the most unintentionally hysterically sad and yet funny thing on the Sopranos in years.
That was genius. I agree.
It still makes me laugh. The other thing was, have you heard about this new sequel / prequel to Battlestar Galactica that Ron Moore has proposed to Sci-Fi TV? It's called Caprica.
Maybe he hasn't gotten to hear episode 33.
Concerned with about the war with the Cylons, or the creation of the Cylons, and the ensuing war with them 50 years previous to the Battlestar Galactica universe. Sounds really interesting, but I have to wonder if, you know, Ron Moore is having trouble with resources, time, and energy to do a regular Battlestar Galactica season. I mean, I wonder how he would fare running two shows simultaneously.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I think J.J. Abrams, when I think about that.
Would devour the, or would be devoured by the child, you might say, in that context. So, just wondering what you guys thought about
that. It's worth worrying
about,
you know.
And I'll hang up, and I promise I won't call back for a while. Bye.
All right. Well, thanks for that. Hey, we always enjoy your calls. You don't have to apologize for calling. Call any time of day.
Yeah, any caller that doesn't make fun
if we don't have to always play you, you know, but we appreciate your calls.
Yeah, I appreciate every voicemail. You don't have to worry about calling as many times as you want. Stalk us. Hey, we need a stalker of our show. Why not? Well, actually, we do have a stalker, but I have another voicemail here. Let's check it out.
All right, I couldn't resist making one more.
Whoa, it's okay.
Like you, I don't find Tony Soprano or Pat Guido all that appealing physically, but some people are attracted to the aura of power or fascination, or have a fascination with the ability to wield power and find that as sexual stimulant. Ever think about that? Anyway.
I think I mentioned that on the show, didn't I, Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like these mafioso guys in Sopranos, they're always banging hot women. And it's the power thing. It's not because Tony Soprano is attractive. It's because he's a powerful man.
Yeah.
But Vito, if you
and he breathes really loud, and people really like that.
If you saw this waddling guy, Vito, he's gay, right? My argument was, well, it wasn't really an argument. I was like, how could anyone be attracted to this guy, male or female? You know, is he really that powerful guy? Maybe he is. I mean, he's in Tony's crew, so. But anyway, that's that. So the mystery caller's called twice. That's good. And we got one more voicemail. Hey, we're getting more voicemails every week. It's pretty cool. It takes a huge chunk of the show up. I don't mind. Let's check it out.
Okay. I've got an issue here.
Oh,
I've got an issue. Okay. What does it take? A call every week? I mean, what's with the mystery caller? Okay. Why? Okay. I think I've put in the time here.
Oh, no.
I think I've put in the calls. And now the mystery caller gets all this big special hoo-ha. You know, what about me? I'm the one who called over 14 episodes ago or something. Damn it! I am the star mystery caller.
You're not a mystery. Yeah, you are a mystery.
Things about me behind my back.
You're an enigma.
I listen to your little show. I can say dick.
Good lord, Eugene.
See, why don't you make that a drop, Foggy? Damn it. I think I want some respect. You know, I get respect from Josh Whedon on his fan site. I think everyone knows. I can say, but. Make that a drop, Foggy. Foggy, make this a drop. But. Look at my big old butt, Foggy. Look
I think
at my
Eugene
has
totally
butt.
Lost
Damn
it. My God.
Don't look at me that way, Mulberry Bill. Damn it, you. Forgive me, Fair Vanessa.
Luckily, she wasn't here to witness this. Oh my God, he's so angry. Jesus, I think he killed himself. Or he shot somebody.
You know, he's starting to sound more and more like Moe from The Simpsons than ever.
He is. I think it is. Is that Hank Azaria calling our show every week?
Hey, Hank. I love Huff, by the way.
I love this. Apparently, Eugene is extremely jealous of the mystery caller, so I don't know.
We like you too, Eugene.
Yeah. Eugene is starting to scare me. I think we do have a stalker on our show. But on that note, let's check out entertainment. Good Lord. Hey, all right. Entertainment this week. Mission Impossible 3 came out this week. I have not yet seen it, but I will see it soon. But, you know, I was even thinking about this, guys. You know how every once in a while I go, hey, we'll review it on the show. But the more I think about it, I don't really care about reviews of movies that much.
We'll tell you if we're interested in seeing it, but...
I mean, I'll watch Ebert and Roper, but most of the time it's to see clips of the movie, to see what I think. I want to hear them talk about it, but if they give something thumbs down, it doesn't necessarily mean I don't want to see it. Yes. And do we want to become a podcast like that, where blowhards start talking about what we think of,
We don't have to talk about we think other people should see it or not, whether we give it a thumbs up or thumbs down, whether we like it.
Yeah.
I mean,
our opinion means so much.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Does anyone really care what I think of...
Soon you're going to see Nowhere in Mulberry gives the film three thumbs up.
Now, a very anticipated movie this year is Superman, directed by Bryan Singer. I'm excited to see it the more I see the trailers. And I'll tell you this, I have not been excited about seeing it. Superman is not my favorite character in comics. Those Christopher Reeve movies, they're fine. You know, I love Superman 1 and 2, very entertaining. Superman 3 is entertaining on a different kind of level. But
poor Richard Pryor.
But
got drug into that.
When I heard they were making a new Superman, you know, this goes back to when J.J. Abrams is going to do something with it. Kevin Smith was going to. I still didn't
Jim
Caviezel.
No, when I heard the Tim Burton and Nicolas Cage stuff, it made me want to shoot somebody, okay? It didn't make me... The more I see the trailers, the more I get excited. Let's check out the trailer to Superman Returns. Isn't that the official title?
Superman Returns.
So he's been somewhere, and now he's returning.
Mr. Luther, we're approaching the coordinates.
This is where he learned who he was. This is where he came for guidance.
Bill's Tell historical me library.
Yes. Hey, you, get out of here!
Whoa.
Let's start with the big question. Where did you go?
Your father used to say that you were put here for a reason. You know, the world can always use more good reporters.
Everything. Also, I want to see photos of him everywhere.
Clark, hey, welcome back. So you've met the Munchkin.
Hello.
I love the use of the John Williams score. Are they going to do that in the movie?
Ask me.
Yeah.
I was wondering if they did the same.
Does he still stand for truth, justice, all that stuff?
Superman Returns.
How could you leave us like that?
It's not easy for me to live my life being who I am, keeping secrets.
The world doesn't need a savior, and neither do I.
So long, Superman.
Lex Luthor.
Get bald.
Cute kid.
Come with me. You're not going to want to miss this.
What's wrong? Lois and Jason are missing.
I have advanced alien technology.
But millions of people will die.
Billions!
Whoa.
Come on, let me hear you say it just once.
You're insane.
No!
No, or the other thing.
Superman will
never... Wrong! Wrong! Bring it on!
What do you got, Olsen?
Look, in the sky, Chief.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
No, look, it's...
You wanted to see me?
Hey, it looks good to me.
The same.
I don't know. I'm not happy about this.
I don't know who's doing the score. Is John Williams doing the score to the film?
No, they're using the music from Superman the movie, but there's a guy named John Ottman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course. His editor and composer for his other movies, like Usual Suspects, and I believe he did X2. He didn't do the first X-Men. That was Michael Kamen.
I think he did the music for Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh, yeah? John Ottman's good.
Cellular, too.
I wonder how a composer feels about that. Like, hey, I want you to do the movie, but you're going to use the compositions of this guy. It's like, huh? No, I'm going to write my own theme.
I think he probably really dug, you know, trying to...
You probably get a kick out of it, though. But I almost think if it's a new thing, do you really want people... I mean, when I hear that music, I think of Christopher Reeve.
I was about to say, if you could do a take on it, you know...
But Superman Returns is... It follows the canon of the Richard Donner films.
Is it supposed to be its own?
It's not its own film. It's like when they use Marlon Brando in the film, for crying out loud.
So are you saying that he is the Christopher Reeve character from those movies, like just continued on?
Yeah.
But it kind of goes into his past also again, right? It shows footage of him when he was a youngster in Smallville. And you got Lana Lang there.
Yeah, I believe it does. I don't know. I guess we're just going to have to see it. But everything I've heard is that, you know, it's following what Richard Donner started.
Right. And I know that Bryan Singer is a huge fan of the first one.
And, that you know, that's a problem for me because I didn't like the Richard Donner films. I liked...
Well, he only did the first one.
He did half of the second one. Remember, they took him off the directing job
about halfway through it. What is he? Was he disgusted by something? They got too controlling or something?
I think so. Something happened, and they pulled him off of it, and I can't remember who completed it, but I think they are actually working on a restored version of Richard Donner's intended original cut.
Hey, that would be cool. Yeah, the studio sometimes, I believe that's why Bryan Singer left X-Men, because... The studio was too demanding. It's not like, hey, look, he did a great X-Men 1, he did a great X2, let's give him all the time he wants for X3. It's like, we gotta have this crap out by July 4th, dude. We need this.
This is a summer blockbuster.
Yeah, but we have to have time to develop. No. Get that guy from Frasier on here. Let's get this movie rolling. You know, it's something like that. Now, another movie... directed by a guy who's done a comic adaptation, Art School Confidential, directed by Terry Zwigoff, I think how you say his name. He did Crumb, the documentary that we talked about last week.
Oh,
cool. We ought to check that out. We've seen it before, but I mean, I'd like to check it out.
He did just about one of the funniest movies I've ever seen, Bad Santa.
Yeah, and he also did Ghost World, which is based on a comic book.
Correct.
I really dig his stuff.
I like Ghost World, too.
Paul Greengrass got started into documentaries, moved his way into film, and you can see how that kind of carries over. It has this certain kind of...
feel for...
Je ne sais quoi. To sound pretentious, I got nothing, man. I totally do.
Je ne sais quoi.
But let's check out Art School Confidential. I think it looks pretty good.
Can any of you do one single thing that I haven't seen 1 million times before?
At Strathmore Institute.
She's a Strathmore grad.
Oh, just look at me now.
You can explore your vision.
What advice would you give to a young artist?
That's such a stupid question.
Feel the power of creativity.
Hit the juice!
Or simply try to get lucky.
Are you serious? Has ever been laid before?
You should just find yourself some nympho slut.
I just want you to know I definitely don't have AIDS. I mean, I've been tested like 40 times, so I know it for a fact.
Here is the beautiful beatnik art chick of your dreams.
You have the most beautiful eyes.
Do you want to go get pizza?
From the director of Bad Santa...
This is ready for the kiln.
...comes a stunning visual masterwork.
How long have you been doing... the triangles.
I was one of the first.
Art School Confidential.
Now, Stephen, you went to art school, and you know what? They kind of hinted at this or kind of played fun of it in Ghost World. The main character went to art school. They have the students doing the coat hanger sculptures, this really pretentious artist, and it looks like this makes fun of it because I've actually seen some of the comic strips. Probably happens in most art schools is you go to art school thinking you're going to be some great artist, but those days are gone, my friend. There's no more. Those artists exist, but I'm just saying there's not household name artists like that anymore.
No, probably Warhol is the last great one that, you know. I'm using the word great loosely.
Well, with household name.
I like Warhol stuff, you know. I'm not.
Yeah, but that's somebody
that
everyone knows who he is.
But not everybody appreciates Warhol, so.
Right. Being from growing up in Pittsburgh, you know, Warhol was actually a pretty big deal.
Right.
Because
right.
he was from Pittsburgh, and then they opened the Warhol Museum. And you go through there, and there's some really great stuff, but then there's like, what?
There's tons of bad stuff. But, I mean, every artist does that same thing. So, I mean, put out as much stuff as you possibly can. Something's going to be good in it.
Something will be good.
I mean, you do 50 pieces, and one's going to be great.
Right. Well, that's what I think is cool about this movie, is it looks like it makes fun of the whole process of how we now raise artists in school. You know, the going to school, how they develop artists. It looks pretty funny. All right, well, let's check out what's on our TiVos.
Poor little guys.
All right. Well, this week, The Medium with Molly Ringwald came on, Steve. And I did not see it, but I did see the annoying commercials. Now, ever since that's aired, I keep seeing a new Medium ad. The thing I love about NBC is they have this guy doing the voiceovers. And I just can't wait to see this next week's episode of Medium. It looks awesome.
NBC Monday, an all-new Medium.
I deal with death a lot in my work.
Me too.
With Kelsey Grammer as the Angel of Death.
What vivid imaginations you all have.
I saw my own death.
A medium that changes all the rules.
Ooh.
And a performance that will chill you to the bone.
Not exactly Dante's Inferno, but close enough.
All-new Medium, Monday on NBC.
Dude, I don't know about you, but I want to see a performance that chills me to the bone. Are they overselling it a little, baby?
Oh, poor Kelsey Grammer.
And a performance that will chill you to the bone.
Man, if this guy can chill me to the bone, all I'm saying is that I'm thinking that it's,
Emmy worthy.
Thank you.
When you're talking pretension, Kelsey Grammer, top of the list. I'll never forget that clip on the internet of him giving some, you know, stupid little speech at a college or something, and he falls head first off that stage. Oh, that's
was
so funny.
Was it one of his drunken drug stupors or something?
Yeah.
I'm glad that he sobered up.
Flipping his
cars. He can do stuff like Medium now.
He portrays the Angel of Death. I mean, when someone calls you
to the bone.
And they say, hey, we've got something that could possibly be a performance from you that will chill people to the bone.
Yeah. Now, another show that I don't watch is Wife Swap. Wife Swap is essentially Trading Spouses on ABC, but it came first, or did it?
I used to watch it pretty regularly, only because it was always so funny.
But apparently this couples, when they're supposed to meet at the table, and I don't know what they do, but they got into a fist fight, and let's check it out.
You're a drunk. He's not a gentleman. He's a sap. You're a slut. You dress like a slut. You look like a slut.
Oh.
You know what? Don't do it. He'll kill you. Don't do it.
Oh my God.
Don't do it.
Put him in jail.
You're done. I'm suing you. Security, call the police! Now!
Jeez. Oh my god! It's the most violent episode of Wife Swap yet.
You just had to make sure they were dead with that one last one.
Yeah.
That's one how last it should one. Be for on Wife Swap from right now, from this on. You know,
I think that was the security guard. Security guard walked in and just shot all of them.
Is friggin' Jerry Springer doing this show now?
I know. And I love what was funny is you see on the fight, the two women are fighting, and she goes to throw a drink in her face. The guy grabs the drink and pushes her back, so then the husband kind of like tries to push him away, and then he's like, oh, I got a fist out, and then he clocks him right in the chin. Hilarious. Now, recently, Tom Cruise was on David Letterman, and I used to love David Letterman back in the NBC days. But
yeah, what the hell happened?
Have you ever heard uncomfortable kind of like just ass-kissing laughter? Let's check this out.
Okay, guys, we're getting warmed up here, okay? Get the diapers out.
But all of that's fun, isn't it?
You know what? I love it. Yeah. We have a thing. It's B&B, you know? She does the breast... you know, feeding, mm-hmm. and I do the burping and changing the diapers. Mm-hmm. That's we got a kind of a whole system worked out. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's
you know, it's not
well.
A bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah. Well, you'd do some business there, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But now,
I think the audience was kissing his ass too.
Why? That was so painful.
It's kind of like when your boss makes a joke and everyone's like,
you know, right then and there, as they were going through that talk, they should have had the monkey on the tricycle ride through.
But a guy who's doing pretty well is Jonathan. Now, this was the season finale of Blowout, and it was very sad.
How did I miss that?
But
so now you refer to him as just one name, like Cher.
Yeah, he's a product, Jonathan Product.
Jonathan.
And in this clip, he gets to meet with his son. Let's check it out.
What are you doing, monkey? What are you doing?
Did you see this?
Look at that!
I'm a Jonathan Bicester.
Look at that! Give me a kiss. Give me a kiss. Oh my god. I'm coming. I gotta go do a shampoo.
Oh my god.
Yeah, monkey.
Okay.
Not exactly Dante's Inferno, but close enough.
Good lord, man. I like that.
What are you doing, monkey?
Now, that's not the only clip. Here, Jonathan is filming a commercial. He's putting up his own money to film a commercial, and he wants to see how he looks on camera, but they won't let him.
Instead of going on QVC.
Yeah, let's check it out.
But here's the thing. I can't see any footage yet. Why not?
We can't rewind over that tape anyway. Right. It wrecks the tape. I mean, it doesn't wreck it, but being a perfectionist, we don't want to do it. Dude, you look money. It looks great. It's high def.
I look money?
You look money. She looks money. Everybody looks money. But we need to make sure that these girls are wearing money.
I don't like to look money.
Really? You like to look money.
I want to see footage.
JonathanProduct.com.
Swingers on too many times. Holy shit.
I got to go do a shampoo.
He's got to go do a shampoo. But that's...
You look money. I hate people that use that term.
Oh, man, it's total money, dude.
It's money, man. You look money. Shut your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, but Blowout's gone for a year, and it's a shame because it was phonic gold. But
I guess we're going to have to start covering the Housewives of Orange County.
Oh, Jesus. I don't think I'll ever lower to that.
Look at that!
But okay, let's talk about The Apprentice. Yeah, this is where they had to open their own salon haircutting place and see who does the best. Mm-hmm. But what's funny is Charmaine was in charge, and Lee and Tarek are just making fun of her the whole time. Let's check this out.
I'm really, really just have mixed feelings right now. I feel scared because we've not had a lot of people coming in. We've not had a lot of transactions. We've not had any high dollar amount transactions. And so that's really scary.
Hey, Lee, Tarek, Charmaine would like to know how it's going for you guys out there. Over.
It's going well. Tell it's going great. No, seriously.
It's going great.
The spoons are so annoying.
For a long time now, so it's been a build-up of frustration with this girl. Michael hasn't seen all sides of her quite yet. I think he's given her the benefit of the doubt, but I think the team is definitely splitting up at this point.
What do you think Charmaine and Michael are doing right now?
I don't know, probably making out. Charmaine's getting her hair done.
What makes this better for your hair?
That was great because she was getting her hair done.
Less harsh in your hands. The metal can be a lot more damp.
How are you doing, Charmaine?
Camille, how are you?
Good.
They are. Currently, they're making me happy.
Really?
Yes. That's our thing.
Sometimes I just wish we could all hold hands and love each other and go back to Kentucky.
How are Lee and Tarek doing?
Tarek and Lee both have very strong, dominating personalities, and me being the only female on this team, it was a little difficult for me to communicate with them. And then it took
Can you stand these twangy voices, Steven? Could you date a girl that talks like that?
Oh, Steven!
I always got shells for
I love you, Steven!
And forget about marketing. Stop! Don't you know the number 12 goes with the number 13? It's the family of the shampoo and the conditioner.
Holy shit, that's more annoying than she is.
I know.
Just a regular suit and tie.
I'm going to go black suit.
Me too.
They're planning on what they're going to wear when they get fired.
Maybe Sergey's having the same problem.
You're a slut? You dress like a slut. You look like a slut.
Oh my god, well that didn't
So these
work.
Guys aren't even giving the project manager a chance, they're just making fun of her midway through the job.
What happens is they're supposed to set up their barbershop, for lack of a better term, salon. And she's more interested in doing the bottles on shelves and making it look nice. And they want to go out and spread the word. They're supposed to say, hey, you can get a haircut tomorrow, you can get a shampoo for this much off. Bring your friend, they can get their hair cut for free or whatever. But she's like, no, we'll do that later. First, let's do these shelves. So they do shelves to a point where they're frustrated and they just give up. What always happens is they don't agree with their project manager's doing and then they give up and hopefully they'll get fired. But that kind of backfires because not just one person got fired this week.
Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Trout.
I don't think you're negative at all. I think you're very, very attractive. I think you have a lot
of
other
things
going
for you.
I think you probably lost because of some bad decisions and really some bad leadership decisions in this case. I really believe there was some weak leadership. You can't control this guy. He's a maniac. I mean, he's supposed to have this great IQ. I don't know if he's got a great IQ or maybe Mensa made a mistake, but you can't control him whatsoever. And a leader has to be able to control the people that they're leading. So, Charmaine, you're fired.
And she's out of here.
Thank you, Mr. Trump.
Wait one second. Tarek, you're a very smart guy. You've got a lot of things going for you. But man, you're impossible to
Tuvok.
Lead. I don't know.
He's Vulcan,
where you're
right?
From.
I would appreciate another
yes.
opportunity.
He's a black
you have a good
Vulcan.
Day. You have a bad day. You're a wonderful leader.
Tarek is
you're
a Puerto Rican Vulcan.
You have these outstanding moments, and then you have moments of great, great failure. But you really are impossible to lead. And a great leader also has to know how to be led. And you don't know how to be led. Tarek, you're fired.
No. Tuvok.
Go. Thank you.
Thank
Good
you,
luck
Mr.
to
Trump
both of you.
After.
Thank you.
Now, the way the show's done is now next week it's three guys against three girls. He planned on firing a man and a woman this episode.
Yeah.
Totally rigged, don't you think? He was like, I gotta fire a man, I gotta fire a woman, because then we'll tie it up next week for guys against girls. Do you think it's planned out like that, Bill?
Do you really need to ask? Is it rhetorical?
Now let's talk about a show that is not predictable in any way, and that's Smallville. This week was an incredible Smallville. Where it's Clark's birthday, and Lois and Chloe and his mom surprise him with a nice rum cake that looks disgusting. This blue cake with red writing to match the Superman suit, of course.
Of course.
But he gets a card from Jonathan, and it has two baseball tickets to go to a Beaver game or whatever. What is that? But
Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee Beavers. Clark is so upset he goes to visit his dad's grave, but his ghost shows up, Jonathan's ghost. And he's there to tell Clark that Lionel Luthor must be killed because he's going to cause a great destruction. He's going to kill a lot of people, basically.
Yes. Excellent show.
Excellent. Yeah, no, okay, the show kicks off with Lex telling Lana that it's time you know what's going on. I'm working with Milton Fine on something, and I want to show you my secret laboratory, where apparently Milton Fine is collecting all of the viruses and poisons or whatever throughout the world. But Lex is coming up with a plan to develop a serum to cure all of those. One injection, you're immune to every disease on the planet, which is very feasible.
Even comic books are more realistic than this show.
But I love, like, Clark tells his mom about this, that his dad appeared to him. She's like, are you sure? You know, sometimes we want to believe that we're talking to a person that's long gone.
I wake up in the middle of the night, and sometimes he's there in bed.
Yeah, it's like, sometimes, you know, I can feel
his
presence.
Giving me the high hard one.
Yeah, sometimes I feel his presence, but he's not really there. But basically, of course, it turns out to be Milton Fine, or I like to call him the T-1000. He is trying to get him to kill Lionel Luthor, because Lionel's trying to warn Lex not to deal with this guy. Why does he care this much about Lionel living or not? Why doesn't he just use his knives and stabbing weapons from his hands to kill Lionel? I mean, he's a mimetic.
Which he used again this episode.
I mean, come on, he's a mimetic polyalloy, right? He can't form complex moving parts, or, you know, he's only something of equal size, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So anyway, he uses this serum and injects Lex, right? And you think it's a poison and he's killed him. But of course, Milton Fine leaves and Clark shows up to save the day after he's rooted through Lana's paperwork in her dorm room. These top secret...
In her panties.
Yeah. It's a panty raid.
She gets to take the top secret papers home.
Would it have been if she shows up and he's looking at her files, but he grabs a pair of her underwear and
starts
stabbing
it.
She's like, oh, is this a panty raid? As a cover. Clark, what are you doing in here? And secretly he's like, I was just looking at the files. Totally threw him off. It turns out that Lex is fine. The doctor checks him out. He's okay. But he cuts his finger and it heals. Much like Wolverine, it heals up. And I think now Lex is liquid metal. It's a mimetic polyalloy. What do you think, Bill?
I don't think he's liquid metal. But,
liquid metal.
But he can heal. It looked like some sort of like webbing stretched out
over. There's a part where the ghost of Jonathan is telling Clark to kill Lionel, and Clark's throwing Lionel everywhere, and he's like, kill him! Kill him, Clark Kent! Kill him! And finally, Clark realizes, this isn't my dad, so he shoots him with heat vision or whatever, which is really cool. I think it's cool whenever he uses heat vision.
Yeah.
And he's kicking Clark's ass, then all of a sudden, Lionel is like, Jor-El is inside him. He's like, when he freezes him, he's like, don't touch me, and he like, absorbs him or something, or makes him de-res, like Sark would do in Tron, something like that. I'm just guessing, you know. But I thought that was a really cool moment.
Yeah, I thought that was the best moment of the show. But obviously Lionel doesn't know what's going on, because he goes into that, like, Jor-El trance.
Right, and he snaps whenever the trance is over, he doesn't remember
anything.
Like
the trance when they get in close to his eyes, you see all the letters and numbers.
He's got the matrix.
Kryptonian matrix.
Inside. Now, that's another good part, is he keeps writing. He goes into these trances where he's like, oh, and he's scribbling down stuff, and he hands it to Clark. He goes, would this mean anything? And Clark doesn't really look at it. He's like, no, nothing. Hey, let's take it to Chloe. She's got a magic computer. He can decipher things. And I love at the very end, she's like, Clark, I finally found one word it keeps saying over and over again. That keeps repeating.
Word.
And he shows it to him, and it says, obviously, Zod in, like, these fancy, like, graphic.
with a backwards D or something.
Clark goes, it's Zod. And I would have been like, couldn't you have just looked at the writings before I went through my computer and just looked at it for a second and gotten that information?
It's like sideways letters, and they're drawn octagonally.
It's basically, like, if you look at, like, the fancy, cool, like, tagging and spray paint on walls, it's like that. It's like, isn't it, like, gangbanging type of,
nice little dots.
Kryptonian tagging is what it is.
It's Jet Set Radio!
Yeah. It's awesome. So, next week is the season finale of Smallville, and I can't believe we've covered an entire season of the show. But, it looks pretty cool. Looks like, everything is coming to a close.
It's going to culminate to a giant cliffhanger.
Yes.
And I would like to implore the, writers of the show to please kill Lana Lang.
Yeah.
She is quite possibly the worst actress and most annoying character.
They even do a thing at the end where Lois is, you know, this won't be the only person you love all your life. There could be someone down the road that's more important to you. It's like, Lana needs to be out of the story. Because obviously Superman is interested in Lois later on in the lore, right? Yeah, I just have a question. Favorite. Will Smallville be back for another season?
That's such a stupid question.
All right, guys, let's get into 24. All right, last week I talked about how this week Jack needed to sneak onto an airplane and hijack it. Now, he sneaks into the luggage compartment, which is cool. That's the best place to sneak in.
You're hanging with the luggage.
And, of course, there's a little hatch that goes up where the drink carts are so he can sneak up into the upper levels and pretend to be a passenger. And I love this. He approaches the air marshal. The thing I love about the show is the cell phone reception is freaking awesome in 24, right?
Terrific. 35,000 feet and not a problem.
He's like, let me call Chloe. She's like, hi, Jack. Oh, and this is another good... Before I get to this...
I don't know if anyone has actually ever... it's supposedly illegal, federally against the law. I've left my cell phone on flying and looked down. You know, there is no signal whatsoever.
Right. But Jack can get one. And it's great. Chloe has to leave because CTU's agents are coming to Buchanan's house to look for her, and she goes to this hotel, like a Ramada Inn or something, where this drunk guy starts hitting on her as she's trying to, like, do stuff on the Wi-Fi. And it's funny, he goes, she's messing with her computer to help Jack, and he's like, I didn't even know we had Wi-Fi in the hotel. It's like, oh, okay, the audience now knows how she can access the internet.
Yeah, and then you got him going, oh, this is a nice computer. Yeah, I've never seen a model like this.
Yeah, he's just totally drunk. Can what I buy you
the taser?
Is that a Macintosh?
And he's like, can I buy you a drink? And she goes, sure, have a seat. And he sits down, and she has a taser gun and goes, and like knocks him unconscious, electrocutes him.
Yeah, later on in the episode, he wakes up again and she shocks him again.
I love Chloe. I thought that was great. Now, meanwhile, Jack is on the plane and trying to mingle with the passengers and, you know, get in close with the air marshal.
Excuse me. Is that seat taken? Oh. Thanks. The stewardess said I could change seats. I was next to the galley. It's kind of noisy. I'm trying to get some rest.
Is your favorite word gravitas like it is mine?
Man, that's some kick-ass music there.
Sounds like butt-crawling music.
Yeah, that is. That's like ants crawling all over your music. Play that again, Foggy. Oh, I got her ants all over me! That's what it reminds you of. That's awesome.
That's right off the Casio keyboard.
So basically, it's not the passenger who Jack thinks it is. He spends all of his time trying to get. It turns out to be the co-pilot of the airplane. And you know what? There's another RoboCop alumni in 24 now, and that's Emil, the guy who gets dumped in toxic waste. He's this secret four guys with their Bluetooth phones talking to the president.
But hello, are you forgetting the vice president? The vice president was one of
Dexter's. Dude, I will totally shit if Clarence Boddicker shows up. It's like, it turns out the main guy at the end, Clarence Boniger, is like, holy shit, I knew it all along. It's Clarence Boniger's behind all this.
Yeah, Robocop kills the vice president in a dance club, remember?
That's awesome. Dude, I can't wait, man. But that's great. Apparently, they're like, the producers watch Robocop before the season began. It's like, let's get these cast. It's got a great cast to this movie.
Let's bring everybody. Karen Allen pops up.
Yeah, let's get Karen Allen. Let's get Ronnie Cox in here. It'll be genius. Let's get the guy who played Robocop 2, that big Tooth Fairy guy from Manhunter. That'd be awesome.
Oh, that was Robocop 3.
No, that was Robocop 2. Robocop 3 was Otomo, the ninja.
No, Robocop 3 was the Robert Burke or whatever. Robocop 2 still had Peter Weller in it.
No, Robocop 2, I'm talking about the killer, the Tooth Fairy from Manhunter.
Oh, sorry.
But remember the ninja in Robocop 3? What the hell was that about? But anyway, back to 24. So I know I'm skipping over a lot of stuff, because this was mostly a filler episode.
What about the general in Robocop 3, though?
Too bad Dan O'Hareley is dead. He would have been great, too.
No, they could always get his son. He could reprise Fracker from Death Wish 3.
Yeah, Fraker.
The Giggler.
They killed the Giggler.
It's on the Giggler. Death Wish 3 is one of the greatest movies ever made. I don't care what anyone says. Screw the Godfather, all right? Okay, well, Jack gets control of the plane, right? And now Emil from Robocop calls the president.
Bauer's got the evidence. He is in control of the plane.
How do you know that?
We just picked up a call from Chloe O'Brien to Karen Hayes. What do we do? You are going to have to shoot down that plane, Mr. President.
What?
It's the only option you've got.
That guy's a great actor.
Otherwise, you go to prison
for treason and murder.
Well, there's more bug music.
You know what would be great is if they incorporated.
That will chill you to the bone.
If they incorporated the president going to jail into Prison Break, and he was just constantly ass raped by someone. That was the storyline.
That would be an interesting storyline there.
But it's amazing. We got to go through all the episodes of 24 this season and figure out how many people was in the original RoboCop.
I'm going to. Oh my, Steven, you got ants all over you.
Get him off!
I love the music to 24. It's been great this week.
That sounds like the music from that like 1980s flick Swarm. with all the earthworms.
Yeah. Oh my god, I got earthworms all over me. Get them off of me! Stevie, get the flamethrower!
That really takes a lot of talent to just sit there and pound away at the keyboard.
Now, another show that has great music is Alias. Let's check it out.
All right, we just got a lead on Anna. She's routing her calls to a call center in Jaipur. Using what? Encrypted router. She must have spliced one of these onto an outside line.
I need an encrypted router.
System. She's totally anonymous.
So we locate the router and remove the encryption key. Next time Anna makes a call, we listen in.
Maybe even trace her location.
What's the approach?
All you need to do is get this perfume bottle.
Who's a better hacker, Bill?
A Wi-Fi
Marshall or Chloe? Point.
And then you can just map the phone system. We can figure out which.
I would have to say Marshall.
Hello, Depression.
What, you didn't think it's?
He uses a 512. What is it?
512 How do you like this smell? It's called L'eau de Passion. Nice. Well, you keep it.
Sorry, my computer's working really slow today.
We'll get a problem. The router's not out here.
In the building. Just follow my lead.
Whoa.
Nobody move! Stop it!
I am angry and French with a large overbite. Get on the floor!
We'll get on the ground. You in the pink. Come here. Get down! Get on the ground!
Oh, hell yeah.
Watch his jewelry wallets in the back.
Pocket.
No reason not to be nice. Come
Did
on.
You say this was Dawkins?
Rocket,
Doc.
All right, now, that's enough for today.
I'm banging my head right here. I think this is Queensryche.
Anyone does anything in the next 3 minutes, she dies.
Silent lucidity.
Awesome.
Silent lucidity.
This was a great episode. Now, that was Jet City Woman. Or this was a great episode of Alias because...
The Queensryche thing just killed me.
It's like, well, where's the hardcore metal coming from? But Nadia wakes up in this episode. I can't believe it. She's been laying in the bed the entire season.
She wakes up and then goes back to bed.
Yeah, she wants her dad, Arvin Sloan, to choose between Rambaldi and her. And there's a great scene where he's got page 47. She throws it in a fire. He's like, no, I got to find the hidden message or whatever, and pushes her, and she falls on the infamous glass table, cuts her jugular.
Awesome.
She dies. It was crazy. I was saddened by this because I liked Nadia. But well, this is great because they're giving fans what they should have, is Arvin Sloan should have never become a good guy. He's evil again, right? He's chosen the path to the dark side once again. Rambaldi. Right, Bill?
Yes, Arvin Sloan is a loony.
Anna Espinosa is now Sydney, a Sydney doppelganger.
And doppelganger?
Yes, a doppelganger.
Great
I don't
movie.
Get to pull that word out very often. The Raven, Renee Rien, who Bill was talking about, the one with
the mouse.
The mousy girl who can kick some ass, apparently. She's killed instantly with a slash to the throat with a knife from fake doppelganger Sydney. So we had two deaths. And I thought it was very shocking and really good to set up future episodes, which there will not be many. What is? How many episodes are left, Bill? Three?
Two or three,
yeah.
Three episodes left. 1 hour long, 1 2-hour. So basically 2 more weeks of Alias, gone forever.
No. It's just there's so much going on. How are they going to, you know, wrap it all up?
Nuclear bomb.
I know. I want some kind of Rambaldi thing at the end where I'm like, holy crap, this is the end game. This is what he was doing. I want to see that. Hopefully we will. Let's move on to Lost. Let's check out what happened on this week's Lost.
What was that? If you're going to say something, you're going to have to speak up.
You killed two of us. Good people who were leaving you alone.
I forgive you for hitting me with your crutch.
Why'd you try to hurt Anna Lucia but not me?
Because you're one of the good ones, John.
A good what?
When that woman caught me in her trap. I was on my way here, John. I was coming for you.
Locke, get out of here!
Michael.
Jack?
I found them. They live in tents. Canvas tents and teepees. They eat dried fish.
They're Native Americans?
You speak with fucking tongue.
They keep a guarded 24/7.
If we trade beaver pelts, they'll give us back
two
Walt.
Guns, and two guns is all I saw. They're barely armed. We can take them.
Me, Chief Wigwam.
As soon as I get my strength back, I will take us back.
Chief Wiggum? Too many Hank Azaria references.
Hey, buddy.
Where are
you
going?
Get our guns back from Sawyer.
Who's going to take care of Michael?
I'll stay.
It's time to give us the guns back.
Not a good idea.
Just go play in the jungle, huh? Take us to the guns. Now. Oh, bitch. She stole my damn gun. Anna Lucia. Why would she need a gun?
Jack. I need to tell you something.
Cut yourself loose.
He kept saying you were misunderstood.
What are you talking about?
Goodwin.
I can't wait till this guy is killed.
He told us all about you. How he thought you were worthy, and that he could change you. But he was wrong.
Silky dirt, dude.
So this is it, huh?
He's like an irritating Yoda.
Yes, Henry.
Yeah.
This is it.
Stop the backward speak, punk
I
ass.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't even kill him.
Bang. Ladesh.
I'll do it. Give me the gun. I'll kill him.
Michael was great in Oz, too.
I'm sorry.
For what? Michael!
Jesus! It's a bloodbath.
Poor Hurley. I hope you got some of that.
Man, that last, like I always say, the last 10 minutes of Lost is the best 10 minutes. Because that totally, I did not expect that to happen. There's been rumors all year, that all season long, that Michelle Rodriguez would be killed off. Or even most recently, the Cynthia Watros would be, because she's apparently on this new show that's coming up with Tom Cavanaugh of Ed fame.
You know, Michelle Rodriguez and Cynthia Watros are going to be getting killed off, and JJ's like, no, absolutely not. They're terrific actresses.
But, you know, I'm glad he didn't say anything, because even if I knew in the future they were going to get killed, this took me totally by surprise, because I did not think it would happen in this episode, right?
No, yeah, exactly. It was very abrupt and shocking.
I was even laughing earlier when it was obvious that Anna Lucia has sex with Sawyer to get his gun, like this rough tumble to sex scene I thought was hilarious. You know, there was a lot of different stuff going on. What was genius, and I'll tell you this much, I don't know if you noticed it, Bill, but there was a Hanzo organization commercial on the last commercial break. And when
I just wasn't paying attention. I never do it to commercials.
Well, see, what's funny is the Hanzo Foundation site has been down for a long time this season. It was up earlier in the season after the orientation video, and you could watch the orientation video online, but it's been down all this time. So that commercial comes on, and I'm like, oh man, that's sweet. I bet you you can call a number. I bet you they've totally changed the website. I can't wait to check it out. And so my mind was on that stupid commercial. And then when that scene happens where they kill Anna Lucia and Libby, it totally like just freaked me out, because my mind was kind of thinking about the website and everything. They did a good kind of switch on me where I was occupied. Do you know what I'm saying?
Flabbergasted.
I was gabberflasted is what I was. Let's check out the Hanzo commercial.
Since the dawn of time, man has been curious, imagining all that is possible. The Hanzo Foundation, reaching out to a better tomorrow. Discover the experience for yourself.
And then you call the number, and it gives you this little password. It's pretty cool. But this Lost was really good. I got to say that really... So,
pulled the rug right out from under you.
Yes, it did, sir. What do you think, Bill? Thumbs up on this episode? You think it's going to be a great ending?
Thumbs up for at least the last 10 minutes. The backstory with Jack's dad and Anna Lucia was a little filler for me. You know, it was just
I'm like, what? And also the whole he goes to visit a lady that people are saying online maybe it's Claire's mom and Jack is related to Claire. Who cares? Just tell me what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
So that's Lost this week. Can't wait to see what happens in the rest of the season. Now, Bill, you ready to do the news? Oh my god.
Ants! Ants everywhere!
What are you doing, monkey?
All right, Bill, what you got in the news this week since Vanessa's gone?
Dateline, May 6, 2006, Lemitar, New Mexico. Saying goodbye to soggy sandwiches. A picture of Reggie Allsbrook's father overlooks the white, sterile, high-tech innards of a gray garage truck tucked between cow pastures. Inside the trailer home-sized garage, Allsbrook is making his father's dream of a perfect sandwich a reality. Nearly 40 years ago, after the elder Allsbrook reached into his lunchbox at the University of Chicago Library and pulled out a soggy sandwich. It was in the 1960s when William Noel Allsbrook came up with the idea of packaging that would protect sandwiches from getting soggy and keep them fresh when a refrigerator's
not available. I like soggy sandwiches.
See, I always hated soggy sandwiches, so this is perfect. So, it says between 65 and 75% of the world does not have refrigeration, and we want to focus on feeding those people, says Allsbrook. So they start a company, and they develop this stupid thing where you put the pieces of bread in it, and when you want to have your sandwich, it releases the meat, which is vacuum sealed, and it lays perfectly on the bread for you.
That's awesome.
So you can have your sandwich, and it won't be soggy.
Does that work with footlong?
I love footlong!
I'm sure they're working on it.
Cool. Awesome.
The footlong would be more of a, novelty item.
Yes.
But this is huge. This is the next big thing.
This is insane.
That is insane.
Is it a Jonathan product?
Yeah, it's a Jonathan product. He thought of that while he was showering with you.
Okay. This one comes from across the pond, and it's a serious article, and I really do fear for these women. Mothers expect Damien on 6606.
Your mom.
For one group of expectant mothers, their due date holds an extra dimension of dread.
Yeah.
The prospect of giving birth on June 6th, 6606,
oh, Jesus,
has prompted talk of spawning devil children on Armageddon Day. A British self-help group that usually exchanges routine tips on parenting has turned its attention to the dangers of a marked date by the satanic symbol. For Hollywood and the worldwide entertainment industry, it is by contrast a one-in-a-century opportunity to turn evil into gold. Leading the charge is 20th Century Fox's remake, unneeded remake at that, of The Omen, the classic 70s horror film.
It's in the Bible.
Will appear on June 6th.
It sure is.
The approach of the sixth day of the sixth month of the new century's sixth year has prompted animated discussion among women participating in the website of Baby and Mother, a British parenting magazine. One pregnant woman, Francesca Renouf, says she has been so worried that she had booked the doctor's appointment to ensure that she would avoid giving birth on the sixth. Others appear to take the dangers less seriously. One woman, Emma Parker, wrote that she intends to call her baby Damien, after the satanic boy in The Omen.
Nice.
Sauna Magnate says she would like to name her baby after Regan in The Exorcist.
I disagree with it.
In America, the marketing of the apocalypse is well underway. Slayer, one of America's most popular heavy metal rock groups, will start its Unholy Alliance tour, subtitled Preaching to the Perverted. Crown Forum, a U.S. publishing giant, has seized on the 666 as the perfect date for the launch of The Godless, a new anti-liberal political polemic by Ann Coulter, a prominent right-wing columnist.
Look at that chunk, dude.
Dude, Slayer rocks.
Slayer. What? I thought they disappeared. They're still around.
They were still around.
How rocking is that? This is my favorite one right here in the article. One popular evangelical website last week, a Rapture Index, that calculates the likelihood of the Lord's arrival stood at 156, which the website declared was time to fasten your seatbelts. By contrast, another website claimed that the Antichrist had already arrived. He is supposedly George, six letters, Walker, six letters, Bush Jr., six letters. The president whose name adds up to 666. The violence and destruction that began when Bush first entered office is now certain to culminate in the apocalypse. As predicted in the Bible over 2,000 years ago, warned Stephen Hanchett at isbushantichrist.blogspot.com. I love that they're actually quoting people from Blogspot accounts.
Little guys.
Yeah, that's... I've got a Blogspot, all right?
Didn't they say that Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist, too? Ronald Wilson Reagan?
Every decade, somebody comes up with, you know what, it's the end of the world. Just ask Hal Lindsey. He loves that stuff.
Yeah, when Jason
cut off his
was,
piece of deal and feed it to him.
When Jason was saying the date earlier, I wrote down on there that next month is 6606. I've been seeing billboards out in California, and... just laughing at this. It's like, wait a second. There's an extra number in there. It's a zero.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That doesn't work, Steven. Don't talk about that. It's got to... Forget about the zero, all right?
Come on. What about the original
First
six?
Of all, it's not 666. It's 2006. Not just the extra zero,
right.
But 2006. It's not 666.
It's not
six,
like it was
six,
the sixth
2006.
Year.
Yeah.
Do you think they did that back when, you know? Hey, it's June 6th. The sixth year!
Yeah.
It's June
That's what
six,
I point out.
Yeah. Oh my god, we're all gonna die.
And what if you do have a baby? People are like, oh, you had a Satan baby, didn't you? Oh, he's so cute. Kitsy,
Satan
kitsy.
Bastard.
Yeah. Oh, it's the mark of the beast. How pleasant. All right, Bill, what else you got?
Here we have an article that's important in that the FCC has been trying to wiretap broadband access.
Uh-oh.
The groups challenging the decision note that the law contains an exemption for information services say that the FCC has long included broadband internet in that category. Judge Edwards agreed as he scoffed at the FCC's argument that broadband internet services include a separate telecommunications component that made it subject to wiretapping requirements. Your argument makes no sense, Edwards told Jacob Lewis, an associated counsel with the FCC. I'm sorry, I'm not making myself clear, Lewis said. You're making yourself very clear. That's the problem, Judge Edwards replied. So basically, the FCC's lawyers are completely incompetent. And luckily, there's a judge that says, I'm sorry, you've already got enough hands in...
you got your hands in too many pies already.
Yeah. Yeah, so don't even try to regulate the internet or, you know, it's so...
Yeah.
Kiss my ass, basically.
You know... the whole copy protection thing, does this have to do with that, or is this something that has to do with national security?
No, this has to do with both, you know, they're just trying to...
Ow!
It's the FCC, they're assholes.
Yeah.
They think anything that's got to do with communications is their responsibility.
Right.
This isn't communication in a sense.
These are ones and zeros being communicated, you know.
It's kind of a Kryptonian matrix, if you will.
and it spells out Zod.
In tagger graffiti.
All right. Last story coming from the St. Petersburg Times in Florida.
He's got to go.
This one's important. More important than any story I've covered so far.
Uh-oh.
Scientology... nearly ready to unveil superpower. In the works for decades, the closely guarded spiritual training program will be revealed in Clearwater, Florida. Matt Feshbach believes he has superpowers. He senses danger faster than most people. Not unlike Spidey Sense.
You're talking rubbish.
He appreciates beauty more deeply than he used to, and he outperforms his peers in the money management industry.
We're just Scientologists.
He heightened his powers of perception in 1995 when he went to Los Angeles and became the first and so far only public Scientologist to take highly classified Scientology program called Superpower.
Sweet.
Where in L.A. did he do this? Just in Los Angeles, as all Feshbach will say, Superpower is that secret. Under wraps for decades, Superpower is now being prepared for its eventual rollout to Scientology's massive building in downtown Clearwater. That will be the only place worldwide where the program, much anticipated by Scientologists, will be offered. A key aim of Superpower is to enhance one's perceptions, and not just five senses we all know, hearing, sight, touch, taste, and smell. Scientology's founder, L. Ron Hubbard, taught that people have 57 perceptics.
Man.
They include an ability to discern relative sizes, blood circulation, balance, compass direction, temperature, gravity, and an awareness of importance and unimportance. Church officials won't
discuss... I
want to
learn the unimportant ones.
I think I'm sensing some unimportance right now. Church officials won't discuss specifics of Superpower, but Fessbach and other prominent Clearwater Scientologists who, like Fessbach, is a major donor to Superpower's building fund, provided some details in interviews with the St. Petersburg Times. A group of former Scientologists who worked for the church on a campus in California where the program was in development also described elements of it. Superpower uses machines, apparatus, and specifically designed rooms to exercise and enhance a person's so-called perceptics. Those machines include an anti-gravity simulator and a gyroscope-like apparatus that spins a person around while blindfolded to improve perception of compass direction, said this former Scientologist. I think I'd probably just get dizzy from that.
I want to learn superpowers.
Yeah, so do I. A video screen that moves forward and backward while flashing images is used to hone a viewer's ability to identify subliminal messages, they said. Hubbard promised Superpower would improve perceptions and put the person into a new realm of ability.
I hate to say this, Bill, but I want to know more about this.
I know.
I'd like you to consider Scientology.
I'm going down to the center tomorrow, Steven. You going to take me?
Yeah.
You going to drop me off in your purple van?
I got to see if you're up to it. I'll bring my e-meter over tomorrow.
Great. I'm going to have to drive down. Hubbard believed it would unlock abilities needed to spread Scientology across the planet. For Fessbach, it's like nothing he's ever done in Scientology. I got it. I loved it, he gushed. Fessbach, 52, and his two brothers became famous for investing circles during the 1980s as the kings of short-selling stocks, eventually betting which stocks will tank. At one point, the California-based Fessbach brothers managed $1 billion for clients. this dude is just absolutely nuts.
So
Fessbach now lives in Bel Air, where his wife Kathy runs a Scientology mission.
Dude, is he nuts or is he a very rich man?
Get this, because he donated millions to the Superpower Building Fund, he was invited to undergo the program. So basically, if you donate millions of dollars to Scientology, they'll let you into their special things. It's geared toward creating a more
like you to consider Scientology.
Spiritual being, he said. I'm not dependent on my physical body to perceive things. He offered this anecdote, and you got to love anecdotes from Scientologists.
Mm-hmm.
He had just finished his perceptics training and was at the Los Angeles airport preparing to fly home to the Tampa Bay area. He stood at a crosswalk with perhaps 20 others, including a woman and her son, an antsy boy, 6 or 7 years old. As the light turned green, the boy bolted into the street ahead of his mother. Fessbach perceived a pickup bearing down on the boy, driven by a young woman. He yelled and saved the boy's life by a quarter of an inch, he said. Coincidence? Fessbach doesn't think so.
Yes, it is a coincidence.
No one else saw the pickup, he says.
Isn't that how most accidents happen?
I'll go home and get your fucking shine box.
He believes that through the Superpower program, he elevated his perceptive abilities beyond those of others at the crosswalk.
You know, I've actually thought I've elevated perceptive driving abilities from playing too much PlayStation, so we can convince ourselves of anything, you know?
I have elevated gas abilities, because the other night I ripped some killer.
Right. I think Jonathan's the head of that super superpower.
The good thing about this is if you have millions to donate, superpower takes weeks, not months, to complete.
Sweet!
So you can go through superpower in one of 12 rundowns, and you'll be ready to go. You'll be able to save antsy boys.
Could you learn turn your body into liquid metal?
In fact, I think that's one of the possibilities.
That would be so cool.
I'm a medic polyalloy.
Knives and stabbing weapons.
You know, right now they're trying
you
to work.
Son
with,
of a bitch.
They're working with Tom Cruise and John Travolta currently to give them their superpowers.
Why don't they have superpowers by now? They already do.
That's why he doesn't need a stunt double.
John Travolta can heal people. Remember?
I'm going through this. They have a list of all 57 awarenesses, and I'm just.
What do you mean by that?
Dumbfounded at this crap.
You're Glenn. You don't even know what Ritalin is.
Here, let me just read down these. 57 Perceptics, as told by L. Ron Hubbard. Time and Sight, whatever that is.
Do you write this on a steno pad?
Yes. Taste and Color and Depth. Solidity of Barriers. This wood, it's solid!
I can tell that this wood is solid.
Do any of the powers have to do with, like, balancing checkbooks or, accounting? Because L. Ron Hubbard was obsessed with accounting.
Personal emotion, endocrine states, awareness of awareness. So not just awareness.
I'm aware that I'm aware.
Personal size.
Man, are you whacked out.
organic sensation. Heartbeat, blood circulation, cellular and bacterial position.
Where do you just move them somewhere else?
Yeah, you know, you can move it to a part
I've
where your body
where... I've just used most of the molecules and cells in my body to my foot, Steven.
That's why it's red.
Whenever you have your feet elevated and your feet fall asleep, that's what's going on, you guys.
Yeah. Gravatic, self and other weights, motion of self, so you'll know when you're moving.
You know when you're moving.
Motion of exterior.
Awareness of movement.
Body position, joint position, internal temperature, external temperature.
How much does
balance.
It cost to learn this stuff? That's what I want to know.
I know.
Here's a thermometer, now you know external temperature.
Balance.
So, hey, couldn't I see that on the news and the weather? I got a paper.
Somebody is telling you this. You know yourself.
Muscular tension, saline content of the body, fields and magnetic, time track motion. So I guess that's like if you do something bad, you can like go back in time and correct it. Physical energy, self-determinism, moisture. Self-moisture, of course.
Holy shit!
You never know when you're too moist.
A lot of this has to do with awareness of things that...
happen in your body.
Yeah. Was he just sitting there on his poolside and it was kind
of
humid?
Sweating.
And he had his feet up.
I'm
he was drinking something.
Level.
He's like, the blood seems to have rushed out of my feet and pins and needles. Okay.
This is great.
While reading a comic book.
The next one is sound direction, so you know, I guess, what
sound erection
from. Direction.
But oh, okay.
This one takes it all. Emotional state of other organs. So it's like...
My stomach is unhappy right now. Yeah.
Hey, I have that. My stomach is sometimes sad.
My kidneys are really disappointed.
That's the music I hear when my
right
intestines
kidney.
Don't agree with me.
My right kidney is lonely because the left one won't talk to it anymore.
Now, Bill, could any of this stuff be true?
That's such a stupid question.
Compass direction, level of consciousness, pain, perception of...
And it only took a guy a week to do this stuff? Yeah. He crammed, man.
Perception of having perceived.
Oh my god. It's almost like he was just making a joke and they just took him seriously.
Awareness of not knowing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my god. Remember us talking about conundrums earlier, Stephen? Does this count yet?
I think we're getting there.
awareness of importance and unimportance, awareness of others, awareness
of others, awareness of air, awareness of breathing.
So you have to be aware of location and placement.
Aware when things
spaces,
are ironic.
Location.
I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. And Jack left town.
Last two, perception of appetite and kinesthesia, whatever the hell that is. But you never know when you're hungry or not, so it's good to have
kinetics
that perception.
Kinetics would be movement.
Let me just say, L. Ron Hubbard, batshit crazy.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Oh,
and
my God.
And that's the news for this episode.
Excellent, Bill. I would say that he had some major issues.
Major issues.
Yes. All right, enough of that. Let's do some DVDs. This is better than any Queensryche.
Watch my DVDs, watch my DVDs.
Mind freak!
Whoa, that really builds there. All right, Bill,
water crescendo?
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to drip some water in a bucket and pass it off as music.
All right, DVDs for May 9th, 2006.
Fuck Lando Calrissian.
We should mention at the top, even though this has nothing to do with the DVD releases for the 9th, we are finally going to get the original theatrical versions of Star Wars this
year. Yes,
yes,
sir. Indeed.
That's, like, huge for me. I am a
you know what's
Star Wars geek. I have wanted this for so long. I have so many different fan edit bootlegs, laser discs of the originals.
Your gorgeous girlfriend, wife, mistress.
So this is really important that we're getting these.
What's funny about this is a lot of people are happy and angry at the same time because remember, Lucas said a while ago, those films do not exist anymore to release the originals. And now they're coming out with them after everyone's bought the restored, the CGI Greedo shoots first crap.
Yes, that was the old cough bullshit cough mode of Luke's.
It's kind of like J.J. Abrams. No, nobody dies. Anna Lucia is going to be on the show
a
long time.
It was a dream.
And they're getting off the island soon.
Yeah, so DVDs, May 9th, 2006. We're going to start with a re-release of the Criterion Collection version of Francois Truffaut's first film, The 400 Blows.
Woo!
Excellent movie. I remember seeing it like 15 years ago, and it was one of the films that really made me become a film freak. There's just something about it that, it's kind of tough to watch, but it's a truly great film.
I'm more of a Hal Needham fan myself.
Nice.
I got nothing after that.
This one I chose just for the cover. I have no idea whether it's good or not. But it's got this hot-looking chick laying on a bed naked with the hair draped over her breasts, and it's called Battle in Heaven. And I think it's a Mexican film.
Oh,
from Carlos Regadas. So if anybody's seen this, hey, let us know if it's any good. All I know is it has a DTS track on it, so that's important. And the cover's hot, so.
Basically, the cover did its job.
Yeah.
So
it says it's a Mexican masterpiece.
A Mexican masterpiece.
Kind of like a really good burrito.
Hey, I'm there, man.
Is a re-release of Cheech and Chong's Nice Dreams.
Oh, hell yes.
In DTS.
I'm sorry, no, it's in Dolby Digital Mono, but... it's a fun movie. I love these.
All right, this stays in these four walls.
Next is a film I've never heard about, but the title caught my eye, and then I looked who was in it, and went, hey, that could be interesting. It's called Dingle, Barry. So it's about...
Where boners go to die.
Yes, it says, lewd, crude, and unrated.
Is this a John Waters movie? It sounds like it'd be something
like
that.
It's a Barry Surgeon film, but it's got Lucas Haas and Veronica Cartwright in it. It says Eleanor Dingle, Veronica Cartwright, would make the Capitol Hill gang blush in this black comedy about power seduction and backbiting. In the vein of The War of the Roses and Bad Santa comes this tale of a power-mad mother who will do anything to get her felonious cad of a son, Barry, who happens to be the producer and director, Barry Surgeon, married to a rising senator's daughter, who is played by Nicole Sullivan, the comedian.
You've moved me from the beginning.
Newly widowed mongoloid. Oh, my God.
What the hell?
Great. I might have to see this now. Never mind that the senator's daughter has three suitors ahead of him. The sons of Mrs. Dingle's arch rival and played in a hilarious turn by Eric Palladino. Don't miss this raunchy, dark, and hilarious revenge comedy. So anything that has a senator's daughter who's a newly widowed mongoloid, I'm going to have to see that.
I'm going to skip this movie.
You don't like mongoloids?
I'm just you mongoloid hater.
He's really flaming.
Okay, Fox, I guess maybe because of the whole Poseidon remake.
Awesome.
Has decided to release the 70s disaster films.
Does he do starting, me that way?
Starting with Earthquake, starring Charlton Heston, George Kennedy, and Ava Gardner. And I think Lauren Green was in this, too, if I remember. So, hey, if you love... Oh, and it's got a new digitally remastered picture and 5.1 surround.
Now, that movie, back when it came out, I don't know if I was alive yet. What year did it come out again?
74.
Yeah, I was alive, but I was three.
Barely.
So, didn't they have, like...
You're still shit in your pants.
Like, ass shakers in the chairs where you felt like you were in the earthquake and stuff when that
came
out? Yeah,
supposedly that was, like, one of those, you know... Those films that they did the
in sense around, yeah.
Yes, sense around. All right, here's something really important, and I know Steven will just flip for this.
Ah. Did you just crack open a beer, or?
It sounded like he took a schnart.
That's a great thing.
Okay, The Facts of Life, the complete second season.
Blair, Mrs. Tootie, G. Joe, yes.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have.
That's a great thing.
The Facts of Life.
Yes, indeed, The Facts of Life.
So, the spinoff of the tremendously popular Different Strokes, The Facts of Life, is a hilarious series that follows Mrs. Edna Garnett.
Mrs. Garrett. She was hot in her day, baby.
Her mission as a house mother to instill values in the girls of Eastland School.
I don't know why, but I watched the show religiously as a kid. Why? Why did I watch this?
We all of that age group.
Why?
We all did.
The show, it was like Different Strokes. Horrible writing.
I watched it too, and it was horrible.
Come on, you love the Gooch.
The Gooch. I did love those shows. What I'm saying is, why did I watch them?
And I don't care what anybody says. Nancy McKeon, lesbian.
I'm gonna agree with you on that. Also, Blair, you know, remember her? She became like this huge Jesus freak.
Yeah, and now she's like a big pig. And coincidentally, Tootie, still fat.
No. Natalie.
Natalie. Yeah.
Yeah, Natalie.
The spoiled Blair, gossipy Tootsie.
You're really enjoying this, aren't you, you sick bastard?
And wisecracking Natalie and rebellious Joe.
Now, how much is that going to retail for?
That's going to retail for somewhere around $30.
Nice. Worth it.
You get 610 minutes of Different Strokes.
Oh, hell yes.
And guest stars Helen Hunt and Richard Dean Anderson.
This is like one of those sets you need. Like, say the apocalypse has happened and you're living in a hatch underground. You need this box set.
Absolutely.
I'm buying it.
Dick.
Yeah, I think the third season was the George Clooney appearance.
Yeah.
Yep. It's when he started dating Natalie.
He's proud of that more than probably like Siriana or something like that.
He dated Natalie. He also dated Roseanne's sister.
He got around on sitcoms. I'm telling you,
yeah, second banana dater.
No kidding, man. The guy is a total slut.
You're a slut. You dress like a slut. You look like a slut.
So here's a film I've been interested in seeing for a while, but is just getting its Region 1 release on DVD, called Fateless. It's a Hungarian film. Set in 1944 as Hitler's final solution becomes policy throughout Europe, Fateless is a semi-autobiographical tale of a 14-year-old Jewish boy from Budapest who finds himself swept up by the cataclysmic events beyond his comprehension.
Is when this he dubbed? Returns,
No, it's in Hungarian. When he returns home after the liberation, he misses the sense of community he experienced in the camps, feeling alienated from both his Christian neighbors who turned a blind eye to his fate and the Jewish family and friends who avoided deportation and who now want to put the war behind him. So it sounds like a real feel-good film.
Let me know how it is. I'll check it out.
Here's one for everyone. Grandma's Boy, the unrated edition.
Look at that!
From Adam Sandler's Happy Madison production comes the raucously funny Fish Out of Bong Water comedy.
Didn't we cover this last week?
I think I talked about it.
I think it was like a week or two ago.
Does it have a monkey in it?
You know what? I think they delayed it.
Ah.
Delayed the release.
The only way I would buy this is if it has a monkey in it.
Yes, and in fact, it does have a karate monkey.
Yes.
What are you doing, monkey?
Next is the second disaster film. I would have to say one of the better ones. The Towering Inferno.
Awesome.
Only because it has Steve McQueen in it.
Oh, yeah. Man's and, man there.
And Paul Newman. Paul Newman was good in it. But the rest of the people,
they need, like, Robert Wagner,
Robert Vaughn, the last thing he was in that I can remember is friggin' basketball. It has O.J. Simpson, too. I forgot about that.
Awesome.
And Fred Astaire.
Hey, in the new Poseidon, who plays the Gene Hackman role? Is it Kurt Russell or is that other
dude? It's a complete retelling. It's different.
Oh.
It's the same.
No.
Different.
I'm not sure. Okay. It looks pretty cool with the tidal wave and all that.
Yeah, and it's Wolfgang Peterson, so it can't be horrible.
Yeah, he's always good.
Well, he's not always good, but
sometimes the CGI fails him. Like in Air Force One, when the Air Force One hits the water and it looks like a video game all of a sudden.
Get off my plane! Rumor has it, the film with Kevin Costner, Shirley MacLaine, Mark Ruffalo, who really needs to start thinking about his roles again.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just going to do romantic comedies from now on.
Yeah, and Jennifer Aniston. I'll pass on it.
No, I've heard this is pretty good, and it's a good book into The Graduate, so I don't believe that, so I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah. And here, the last, but certainly not least...
Damn you, Reba Bell!
Kiss my ass, Eugene. The Poseidon Adventure Special Edition.
Yes, I knew they would come out with it finally.
And this sucker is loaded. Disc 1 has got the film in, let's see here, Dolby Digital Stereo.
Thing. Oh, yes.
Yes.
And, you know, there are people out there that don't want to see it remixed in 5.1. They want to watch it in its original mono.
Sure, why not?
No, was it originally in mono? Because people will say, it wasn't in mono, Jason. It was in...
No,
it was in Feel Around.
It was in Feel Around.
Feel Around.
There's Kentucky Fried Movie reference
it
there.
It was in Reach Around.
Yeah, yeah, it's in Reach Around. Oh, this is an interesting movie. Oh.
So Disc 1 has the commentary by Ronald Neame, Pamela Sue Martin, Stella Stevens, Carol Lindley. Basically the people that are in it that are still alive.
Yes, Stella Stevens. I'm there.
Yes. They unfortunately couldn't pull Gene Hackman away from, what he was doing to do the commentary.
Shark fuck.
Yeah, the one guy who's got a lot of stuff to do still.
Yeah, interactive featurette, Follow the Escape. Disc 2 has a shitload of featurettes that I'm not even going to get into.
But isn't that funny that they make remakes just so they can sell the DVDs of the old movies? That's the only reason they do it.
The thing that's got me kind of, that I want to see about it, I won't buy it, I'll rent it just so I can see the storyboard comparisons, but also the vintage promotional original 1972 featurette, the teaser and the trailer. So I just love seeing those old trailers.
Yeah, it is cool. And you can't believe how bad they are. Like, would I have even gone to see this movie?
Again, I think here's another one we covered last week or the week before that was delayed. Life Goes On, to complete first season. So you can get all your quirky Down syndrome greatness in one small package. Six disc set of 22 episodes.
Bang. Ladesh.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I loved that show. I thought it was great.
I just liked the dog.
And I even thought Becca was hot.
I liked the dog because the dog got its own credit. I thought that was important because I guess they figured if we're giving a retarded kid a credit, we might as well give the dog a credit.
Yeah.
Everyone loves a mongoloid.
And they love when you call them that, too.
Yeah, I know. I hear the American Civil Liberties Union really loves that stuff. Okay, here's a film.
You know what? What I want to say, what I loved about Christopher Burke's performance of Corky.
And a performance that will chill you to the bone.
It did.
It really did. He was excellent. I especially liked whenever he would slur his dialogue.
And he wasn't even mentally handicapped. He's a normal dude.
Yeah, they put that mask on him like Eric Stoltz in the mask.
Oh, Jesus!
What are you doing, monkey?
Here's a film that was in and out of the theaters. I think the critics saw it and no one else did. Terrence Malick's The New World with Colin, I Have a Gigantic Penis, Farrell.
I've heard that's pretty incredible, but Terrence Malick is a very talented guy, but, you know, watch it one day on DVD. You can pause it. You can go to bathroom breaks because it's going to take a long time to get that movie over with. You know what
Terrence
I'm saying?
Terrence Malick tends to just drag shit on forever.
And he is an incredible director. There were moments of The Thin Red Line that were pretty incredible, but...
Oh, absolutely.
I can't sit through it again.
Jim Caviezel's performance in The Thin Red Line was awesome.
Yeah.
I was shocked that he didn't get some sort of nomination for it.
I think it's because no one finished watching the movie.
Yeah, you know what? You're probably right. But this one's only 135 minutes. Heavy. So, you know, hey, I think he exercised some discretion. Based on the true story, the sweeping saga tells the tale of Pocahontas, the impetuous Native American beauty, whose relationship with Captain John Smith, Colin Farrell, sets off a battle for the new nation.
Cool, I've seen the Disney movie Pocahontas, so this is pretty much that.
With Mel Gibson as John Smith. Also starring Christopher Plummer and Christian Bale, this unforgettable film is magnificent and epic.
You know what, I'll check it out. It'll come on.
You know what, I think I'm going to buy it only because it's Terrence Malick. His stuff is beautiful, but most of the time boring. I'll give it a chance.
I'm there, dude.
I know the NYU film students think the sun rises and sets in his ass.
Yeah. I'm not going to say, hey, man, he's no Hal Needham, all right? Hal Needham was a genius. Megaforce? Come on. Hello? Megaforce?
Well, what about
Cannonball
acting?
Run?
He was in Cannonball Run 1 and 2, Stroker Ace.
I mean, this dude was like, I'm going to put bloopers at the end of the movie. Genius.
First one.
I mean, I gotta admit, I loved Smokey and the Bandit. Smokey and the Bandit is like one of those classic, you know, films that I could watch over and over again, just like Any Which Way You Can and Every Which Way But Loose.
Exactly.
I love those movies. They're so goofy. Okay, last DVD. Some people loved it, some people hated it, as with most Steven Spielberg films. Munich. And it's
Munich.
Everyone knows about Munich.
I want to see it on DVD. I didn't want to go to the theater or anything like that, but I'd like to check it out. Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, I didn't see it in the theater, and I had no idea it was almost 3 hours long.
and it's supposed to be powerful.
Powerful. Yeah, you know what? I'm just.
It's no Smoking the Bandit, but I heard it's powerful.
Have all the movie cliches been used?
Yeah. It's a mesmerizing, hell's a poppin' powerful movie. I got nothing. How much would you love it if, in a movie trailer, it said at the end, I got nothing? I'd go see that movie.
Absolutely.
It's a roller coaster ride.
It's a roller coaster of nothing.
A fun ride, the feel-good hit of the summer.
I would like to see a documentary on L. Ron Hubbard's 57 perceptions, or perceptive.
Let's do it.
And you know what? You could get Barry Pepper in it to play Johnny Good Boy Tyler.
Yes. And John Travolta could play Terrell.
What are you doing, monkey?
And that's the DVDs for May 9th, 2006.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you very much. That was genius. Alright, everybody, that's episode 34 of Nowhere in Mulberry, Steven.
In the can.
In the can, baby. And it's going to not be held up by any host problems. We're going to get it right out to yous.
This episode is a roller coaster ride.
I'm going to say this is our feel good episode of the summer.
I would have to say this is our intense, not unlike Dante's Inferno episode.
Close enough.
Yeah, I agree. This is our kind of bugs crawling all over you episodes. Get them off me! Get them off me!
It's a quirky comedy.
Yeah, one of my favorites ever was The Abyss when it was in theaters. The guy said, "A love story of shattering impact." I will never forget that because I thought it was hilarious. You will shit your pants. It's like, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to see that. That's bad marketing plan.
The quirky feel-good comedy of the summer.
You're going to have a range of underwear.
Now, guys, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail like Eugene, an angry voicemail like Eugene, or, you know, happy, jovial like the mystery caller, who I'm starting to like the mystery caller better than Eugene. I'm going to go ahead and break his heart right now. What do you say,
Simon? Oh, no, you didn't.
You're opening a whole can of ants.
Wait, I hear Eugene on the phone right now. Oh, poor guy. And, oh man, maggots are crawling all over his body. Oh my god! Oh, Jesus! Call 1-206-202-3491 or go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. I know, Steven, you're always traveling. You haven't been able to make the Friday night chats, but it's been a lot of fun lately. We got our regulars on there. Bill and I chatted with them for a while, and I hope you can
make
it.
I got in way too late last night.
I think Vanessa is asleep at that time or something. I don't know what she's doing. It's Friday night. She's bar hopping, something like that.
She's listening to Mozart.
You're a slut? You dress like a slut. You look like a slut.
I was circling the big storm that came around us.
I thought you were going to say you were circling the drain. Or So did they not let you guys land for a while till the storm died down is what it was?
Yeah, we had to go completely around the storm and come in from the east side of the...
Well, that's good. I'd rather you be safe than make chat night. But hopefully you can make a chat night sometime soon. Hopefully your job will let you stay home sometime. But guys, I thank you for joining us this week. I had a lot of fun. Send us one of your favorite things that anyone said. You know, if you got monkey movies, anything like that.
What are you doing, monkey?
And please, no Project X clips.
Yeah. Shock the monkey, all that stuff.
I gotta go do a shampoo.
Guys, I gotta go do a shampoo, so I gotta go. But thanks for joining us this week.
Look at my big old butt. Look at my big old butt. Damn it. Don't look at me that way, Mulberry Bill.
Now this is podcasting.